This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Angel.
You are. And it's always good to be in the studio, isn't it, Dr. Angel?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Dr. Angel Falzoni, our resident expert, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and just moving mountains in your career, and which is always good, right? Those mountains, right?
Get them out of the way.
We're actually talking about some mountains in people's personal lives, aren't we,
yes,
tonight?
We are.
We started this series last week, Exposing Our Truth, and I'm telling everybody I run into that they need to check this series out. And if you missed last week, go to tantalknetwork.com. Go to the tab that says podcast. It'll give you a little page and you need to click on the link to Internet Pros. Click on that. It'll open up the list of all the shows here at Tan Talk Network, which are tons. Go to the name of this show, Go Yard, and it will open our little thing up, whatever you want to call that. And the podcast will be right there and you can catch the ones that you have missed. And tell friends about this. It's so cool that we take it for granted here at Tan Talk Network that we have the ability to be global, live. We have the ability to have podcasts that people can access 24/7, 365. And with our Go Yard website, we actually have titles on those shows. And that is goyard2014.org. That's our Go Yard website. Why would people even want to know any of the information I just spouted out there, Dr. Angel?
Oh, because we have a ton of amazing free information to help our listeners with whatever they're going through.
We do, and we want you to use them and tell friends. And as the new year unfolds, we hope to be able to have some workshops, a Go Yard workshop sometime. We'll tell you more about that, but we're actually looking for space and all of that. So a lot of things have to come together before we do that, and you have a book coming out this year, and so do I. So that's
yours is coming out before mine.
Mine is coming out in about 4 or 5 weeks. I'm very excited about that, and we're doing the final work right now with the publisher, so that's cool. But, you know, that's what you and I are all about, is taking the talents and gifts that God has given us and trying to help as many people as possible. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. And you know, it's just we've been doing this now. We're in our fifth year right here on Go Yard. Hard to believe. We have a show on Sunday afternoon that is not a life coaching show. It's a spiritual show. It's all about God. That one airs every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. So we do a lot of radio work, and we do it because we believe in this medium, and we want to see people helped and encouraged, right?
Yes, we do.
So what was the impetus behind this new series as we kick off 2019?
What do you mean?
Yeah, like, why are we doing this series?
Why did we start this?
Yeah, why are we starting this series? What?
You know,
why is this particular series, Exposing Our Truth, important?
Well, you know, it's a foundational series to us really living that Go Yard life, living a life that is healthy and well and what we want it to be. Like, exactly. This is a foundational, and it started off with just truth and personal truth, and it's kind of just grown into where it's becoming, which I was really impressed last week with ourselves as it was coming out. I'm like,
hey, I'm so glad that you can be impressed with us.
I really was. I'm like,
yeah, okay.
So, I need to take notes.
And that's why people need to go back and listen to last week and catch up. So we talked about our inner truth and our outer truth, and yes. I just want you to quickly define that so we can move on.
Sure. You know, the outer truth is the things that a lot of us share as truth, like the sky is blue, the grass is green. Like, these are outer truths. We can prove them. There's evidence. Those are things that we can accept as outer truths because many people, share the truth.
Okay.
Inner truth is not like that. Our inner truth is a very personal, subjective truth.
Right.
So it is. There's a little formula behind making it up. So it's, the facts of what a person experienced. So that's, a lot of those facts can be shared.
Sure.
But then it's that interpretation of those facts, and then the story of the facts, and then the experience of the facts. So... there's
so
a
it's
lot
not
happening.
Just it's not just about things that happened to you, because two different people can experience the same event, right? Mm-hmm. And see it different, feel it different. It may affect one person, let's say siblings, the twins, let's even say. Mm-hmm. And you're going through some traumatic event as a child. One feels this way about it. Another one can barely remember it. And then the other one is traumatized, right?
Absolutely. And we deal with that all the time. In fact, it's funny you brought up the trauma, because I taught an 8-hour workshop on trauma on Saturday. And that was the core of it, is... two people don't experience the same drama
yes.
the same way. Like,
right.
There isn't that shared personal truth. There isn't a shared personal truth.
So it's individual. Why is it individual, Dr. Angel?
Because it's based on what we're experiencing, what we think of it, what's important about it, how do we categorize it. So it's an individual, because our little brain and its little computer and our little feelings and our little heart are what record these events and then
exactly.
put their stories and meanings to them.
And so when somebody says, let's say a relative of yours or sibling says, no, it wasn't like that. I didn't feel that way when mom did that to us, or whatever the case may be. You can't go with that and feel that your feelings are diminished. You have to go with your truth, right?
Absolutely. And my truth, and you had a different experience, doesn't mean mine's not accurate. It just means ours is a little different.
A little different, right.
And we have to realize that my truth is not a shared experience. Even if some of our shared experiences, we have experiences we shared, that truth and the story behind it can still be completely different.
And... it is so vitally important, because inner truth shapes us into who we are, correct?
Oh, yes, it does.
Give us an example of that.
Well, it becomes like the worldview we see ourselves, we see the world, we see our relationships,
right?
How we think of ourselves, what we think our purpose are. Like, all of this comes from our inner truth.
Right. But so many people have taken that inner truth about, say, a hurtful experience, and they have hardened their hearts, so to mm-hmm. speak.
They get stuck there.
The feelings are intense, and sometimes those affect future relationships.
No, not sometimes.
Always.
It always affects
it
future
always
relationships.
It always, right?
And I don't use always very much.
You hardly ever use the word always. So let's make a big deal about that word. What was that word?
Always.
Okay, so why is it that whatever happens to us and how we perceive it, how we receive it, right,
mm-hmm.
is so important that we can suffer for the rest of our lives over something, right?
Oh, absolutely, we can. And it's what we're doing with that inner truth. So what happens, we have these experiences, and we get these negative ones. And so it kind of stunk going through the negative event the first time. So
right.
We kind of develop this little fear about it, this little aversion to it. We don't want anything to do with it. So we decide we're going to stuff all that back down in there and push it down inside
Didn't
of us.
Didn't feel good, so I don't want to talk, think about
time.
It again, right?
I don't want to think about it. I don't want to relive the shame or the pain or the guilt or whatever was attached to that. So we stuff it all down, and then we just go on and pretend like it didn't happen. Huh? The problem is it did.
And the problem is it did, and the problem is it's still there,
yes.
The effects of that, right?
It is, until we expose it and heal it and move on.
Okay, have you ever known somebody that's had a car accident? Somebody hits them, rear end, whatever, and they go, oh, that's not so bad. I'll just leave it. I don't want to, you know, I'll just collect the insurance money. I'll just leave it, okay? And then, you know, a few months later, they run into a friend. They go, hey, what happened to the back of your car? Well, I forgot all about that. It's just an accident I had. But the effect is still there.
Yes.
And you can still see it, or perhaps your trunk does not open properly anymore because of that accident, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of a metaphor that...
It is a metaphor, but it happens. So everything we experience, you know, impacts us at some level because it's part of our inner truth.
It does.
The problem is so many people are walking this earth and they're just self-strangers. We talked about that. They're ignoring who I am. I don't want to look at all that stuff.
Right.
Good, bad. You know, the good gets mixed with the bad. And then all just becomes looks like a big mess to us, thinking from the outside in.
Okay. So the person that's listening right now says, all right, I get that. I understand that. So if I look at my inner truth, though, it will hurt. I know that, say, my relationship with my dad who abandoned our family or my grandfather who abused me or whatever the case may be, is if I think about that, it's going to be so painful. I don't want to do that.
Yes, I hear that. I barely lived through it the first time, Dr. Angel. What do you mean?
Exactly.
And we're not living through it when we're looking at our inner truth. We are dealing with it. We're putting it into perspective of the here and the now. And it's not just the facts. It's what did I feel? What did I experience?
Yes.
There's a lot tied into that.
Right.
And it's so we can move on. So we can make a meaning and a purpose and write that story to fit where we are now. Instead of that six-year-old child where that storyline got stuck, or that, you know, 25-year-old person who's, you know, love of their life walked out of them and they just will never give their heart again.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. It can be childhood trauma, adult trauma. It doesn't even matter what those experiences are. So many people get stuck right there. That's it.
I know. I have actually known people that had the very thing that you just talked about. Somebody leaves them, they're engaged, whatever, they get jilted or they get left at the altar, whatever, and that's the end of their love life from there on, you know?
I will never love again.
I will never love again, yes. But that is a great example of never dealing with that pain and receiving healing for that pain.
Because they are thinking about that on some level every day
all
of their life.
All the time, right?
All of your life. You know, and it's funny because it's interesting that I was just teaching that class because it really comes into what we're doing on the show, you know, because we expend a great amount of energy and time trying not to remember the things we don't want to remember.
Exactly. So for the person who says, well, if I just don't think about it, but it's subconscious, right? We mentioned that last week. Do you want to address that and how trauma and painful memories stick with us?
So it comes through. It may come through your nightmares. It may come through just how you're feeling. It may come through it's happening inside of you. You might not sit there and go, today I am choosing not to remember the bad thing. Like, it's not like that, but you're remembering it and you have to stuff it back down constantly. So it surfaces and then you gotta, I don't want to remember that, and push it back down. You know, and that's where people will get stuck on substances because that'll help them to not remember things.
That's exactly right.
And that's one of the gateways to it because they don't want to remember something.
Exactly.
But the problem is you're remembering it. You're just getting a peek of it, and then you're stuffing it.
Okay, so you mentioned last week, and I don't know if we emphasized this word, but I was thinking about it as we prepared for tonight. Adventure. It's an adventure to do some inner healing work.
Yes.
And a good adventure.
Yes.
But most people think of it, I mean, when I think of the word adventure, I think of driving out west or trying a new sport or doing something new or different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a good feeling about the word adventure,
mm-hmm.
right? How can we get our audience right now, Dr. Angel, to understand that the word adventure should be associated with exposing our inner truth?
It absolutely should be associated with it because that's what it is. It is an adventure. And an adventure is not always everything's great, fun,
right.
and hunky dory.
That's true.
I mean, I've had adventures of hiking and had blisters all over and I'm hot.
True.
And I'm
yeah.
But wait a minute. When I think about that memory of hiking, I don't sit and think about the blisters and the heat and all that. I think about the beautiful views I saw and the, you know, the the animals that I got to interact, you know, when we remember those.
Yeah.
For some reason, the bad experiences, we don't remember any of the good part. We just remember only the bad stuff.
We hang on to the bad stuff because it's like we're fragile.
Yes.
In so many ways, right? And that hurts so bad, we can't go back and take a look at it. And that's why a lot of people don't go into therapy, and they should be there.
Yes.
Because they don't want to face this stuff, right?
Absolutely. So adventures got there's some nitty-gritty stuff that happens when we're going on an adventure. If it's a car trip, like, there's work that goes into it. There's things that may not always feel good or be easy or be comfortable. You may go times where longer without eating because you don't always know where to get, you know, food or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's part of the adventure, right?
Right.
And we're okay with that on the outside when we're skydiving or traveling or whatever we want to consider our adventure is. But we don't think of, we are our own adventure.
Right.
We are with ourselves through this adventure called life, our journey that starts on the day we're born.
Yes.
Ends on the day we die. And that little dash in the middle is the adventure.
That it is, and I was just looking at this shirt this morning, deciding if I was going to put it on. It's an old kayak shirt, and it says on the back, the journey is the destination. Right?
Absolutely.
And I really like that shirt, so I'll never get rid of it, probably, because of what it says, even though it's very old. Because it's we don't understand that as we journey every day, we're already there at our destination, right?
We are part of our destination. Every day we're in a journey. There is no like this. I think sometimes we think in life that if we just keep going, everything's just going to magically become what we want it to become. And life just doesn't magically work like that.
Right.
You know? So we'll suffer. We just like, we'll suffer. We'll suffer with ourselves. We'll suffer in our situation. We'll suffer in our job. We'll suffer in bad relationships because somewhere in our mind, we think that this is magically going to disappear if we suffer enough. But it doesn't.
It does not.
You get at the end of the road and you realize I spent 50, 60, 70 years suffering.
Right.
And I missed my adventure.
And how about, along with that, the people that this generation that are the 20-somethings that feel like, I don't want to work that hard to get to that place. I'm just going to hope it all comes together for me sometime. But, you know, I really don't have any drive or any goals or anything. That, to me, is a frustration for me as a grandmother with kids in that age group. You know what I'm talking about?
I sure do. And, you know, I tell you, I use this a lot. What you feed grows, what you starve dies.
That's
and
true.
That's true with our dreams. It's
right.
True with anything we have in our life.
Sure.
What we feed grows. So we can have dreams, but if we're not willing to feed them, we're not going to see them happen.
How do you defeat a dream?
How do you feed a dream? You start putting legs to it.
Right.
You start putting heart to it. You
right.
start putting action to it.
Exactly.
You know,
you make a plan.
You do. You make
a plan. You are big on your plan book. If any of you would like to see Dr. Angel's plan book, it'll blow your mind. It is so specific. But you have learned to do this and then check off what happens, right?
Absolutely.
I love to check things off like that too.
You know, I do too. And it drives me.
I use a different color of pen so I can see it.
There you go.
That got done, you know? Go ahead.
No, it does. It drives me. It fuels me. It motivates me. It helps me to see to enjoy the journey
right.
and not just, you know, strive from destination to destination. It's
right.
a journey, all of it.
Right.
And so taking it as a complete journey. When I think about suffering and human suffering, I have a friend who's been traveling the world, and by goodness, I'm just going to tell you, I'm jealous as crap every time I get on Facebook, and she's in Prague, and now she's in Israel, and
oh, wow.
I'm like, how is she
wow.
doing this? But anyway, she was just recently in Prague, and she was posting a lot of posts of the concentration camps there from
wow.
World War II, and
oh.
just seeing the pictures were harrowing.
Oh,
but it made me think about this individual, Viktor Frankl, who was in a concentration camp in Nazi, you know,
oh, yeah,
during
yeah.
that time. And he's a man who has written a lot in the psychology books,
right,
a lot
sure.
of quotes.
I know, yeah.
He is the man who is quoted with, you know, life is never made unbearable by circumstance, but only by lack of meaning and purpose. This man
oh, that's
found
so true.
Meaning and purpose in a concentration camp. You want to talk about trauma of trauma.
Exactly.
But yet
wow.
he continued to
That's
have
hard
forward
for most of
thinking.
Us to process
mm-hmm.
that there could be good that comes from that, which we did talk about that concept last week on the show, that there can be good that comes from bad circumstances, right?
But while he's in the bad circumstance, he's continuing to look for a meaning and a purpose still experiencing these things. Right. Like, these things weren't just written after he was out and he was safe and blah, blah, blah. This was how he survived.
Well, that's keeping your hope alive, right?
Yes.
Right? Because so often we allow the hope in our lives to diminish, and it's diminished by, so often, this inner truth that is so condemning of us subconsciously and consciously, right?
Right. And so what we want to sit and do sometimes, I think, in our head is think, oh, what I've been through doesn't compare to anybody. It's so bad that it warrants me giving up my whole life purpose, meaning, and journey for this bad thing.
And when they have that kind of a mindset, they want everybody else to know they're suffering.
Oh, yes.
They're a victim. They're a martyr. Yes. They're all of that. That attitude, dear ones, will never, ever get you to where you want to go in life.
And no, it doesn't. It just does not. And
it's coupled with self-pity.
Well, and you are literally, here's what you're doing. You are putting your life, mm-hmm. your whole life, on the altar of that bad experience.
Oh my gosh, that's giving it an awful lot of power.
Sure is.
And you like to talk about how we keep our power, use our power, but we give up our power when we live in that dynamic mindset.
Like getting stuck
right?
in that stuck. Bad place. Mm-hmm. When we're not willing to take a look at who am I really? Let's get on the self-discovery. Because here's the thing. We don't know who we are, and then we try to get in a relationship with someone else who doesn't know who they are. And these things don't work out well.
Well, because so often what we want in that relationship, we're not even sure what we want. Right?
Because we don't know who we are.
Right? We haven't processed that. So then we have expectations that are actually false expectations mm-hmm. of that other person or that other job or whatever the case may be. You know, we barely mentioned this last week. So many people on their deathbed or near their deathbed have regrets.
Oh, there's a lot of regrets. Absolutely. And the big regrets are the regrets of not living their life.
Right.
The way in their purpose.
Right.
Or the way they thought or they believed they should live. The way they felt they should live. But by living, they regretted letting other people tell them how to live their life.
But, you know, people are really good at that. Mm-hmm. Trying to put their values, especially family members and marriage partners, etc., trying to put their values, their expectations on your life,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. You know, we see that. These are conversations I've recently had. I was talking with a group of therapists and, you know, watching a lot of times parents will do this. They'll project their dreams on their kids and now, right. you know, they'll make their kid the star soccer player or a gymnast because that's what they wanted to do. But this kid's miserable doing it.
Right.
You know, and we got to stop.
We got to stop doing that.
We got to stop. We do it all the time and we let people do it to us all the time. So
yeah, we do. We grant them that ability. So what we need to be doing instead is encouraging our children, grandchildren, and people in our lives to discover who they really are. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, that's what we should be doing. We should be encouraging self-discovery.
Yeah, but that takes work, Dr. Angel. And too many people are just plain lazy these days.
In the
day of technology where you can, you know, it's in the palm of your hand, you can watch the football game without even having to find a TV in somewhere, right? Exactly. So what do you say to an audience where so many people, it's widespread, do not know their inner self? They just don't.
They do not know their inner self, and they are self-strangers, and we are walking around miserable and self-strangers.
We're going to come back and discuss this more in just a minute. Don't go anywhere, because we got a whole lot more important stuff to talk about tonight on Go Yard. Call a friend and ask them to join us.
The life you knew in 1,000 pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these. This world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Just let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to be.
All right. Welcome back to the second half of Go Yard tonight. We are in part two of our new series, Exposing Our Truth. I'm Mama Mac, along with Dr. Angel, right here live in the studio. And it's so interesting to me, Dr. Angel, that when we talk about this subject, it's a deep subject. It's a painful subject for some people. But it can be one of the best things that ever happened to you in your life if you get a hold of these principles and actually work them.
It can't be. It is going.
It is going to be.
This is going to change and revolutionize who you are from the inside out.
This is a life-changing event.
And everything about you and your life forward. You know, because once you really know, once you get into that inner truth, and I know who I am, I know where I've been, nobody can tell you different.
No.
Nobody can.
You develop a real self-confidence, right?
Yes. You know, one thing I always tell people is I can tell you what I can't do well, and I can tell you what I can do well. You get this more realistic appraisal of who you are.
Right.
I can tell you what I like, and I can absolutely tell you what I don't like.
Right.
And before, I couldn't have done that.
And who you will allow close to you and who you will allow only 9 feet away, right?
Exactly. When you have this inner truth discovered, and it's a journey as you go because we're constantly changing and growing and emerging. But once you start getting a good grasp of this inner truth, you learn really quick to see flags in relationships and people, and you're like, this is going to be a problem, and I'm not going to do this right now. So we're going to put this person at a distance.
Right, exactly. And it's so this whole thing of exposing our truth is a process, right?
Oh, yes.
You can't sit down and say, I'm going to do that this weekend. I'm going to be fine, right?
Yes, I'm going to have a weekend appointment.
Just a weekend appointment of exposing my truth, right? It doesn't really work that way, does it?
Why? No, and it's a process, and it's a stepping process, because there's things we can learn and pull and grow from it. You know, sometimes people, you know, when we start really getting into who I am, there's a lot there, and maybe there's feelings and there's things we want to talk about or things we need to process, or, you know, journaling or having someone trusted to kind of walk this journey with us can be really helpful.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So in the process of exposing our truth or beginning, just give our audience kind of an idea of why they should do this work.
Okay.
And why not? I mean, because a lot of people would make a case for, now that's too time consuming. I don't want to hurt. We've been talking about that in the first part of the show. I don't want to find that out. I don't want to remember those details, whatever.
And you know, we've talked about that. You are remembering. There is no such thing as forgetting.
Right.
There is no such thing as, we can pretend we don't remember, but our body's keeping score. There is so many books about how our body keeps tabs and all that. the experiences we've had. And so it's a process of, we want to break down and start shedding some of those layers. And it's kind of like peeling back an onion.
It is.
You know, I might look at a hurtful event, say a divorce, and I might see in the beginning, when I look at that part of that divorce, I might just can see all the things that other person did that I didn't like and how I felt and what I hated. But as I get into layers, I might start seeing, wow, I kind of let this person do this, and I contributed to this that allowed this, and you grow, right?
I agree, and I think that in a lot of failed relationships, that is what happens. There is that period of time where we are telling our friends or our relatives, this is why it didn't work, because he or she did this, and this, and this, and this, and I can't handle that, blah, 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 blah. And people agree with you and make you feel better, right?
Oh, sure they do. But as you really are looking at inner truth, and you keep diving a little deeper and diving a little deeper, you see it from different, more mature perspectives.
You do. Yeah.
You do. And now it's not all he, she. Now it's kind of like, I see what I've contributed. I see what I've allowed. If it was because I had poor boundaries, poor self-esteem, I didn't have my voice, whatever it was, I can see my contribution.
And I will say that our contribution to our audience's truth exposing is found in 4.5 years of shows right here on Tantalk Network that we've done that have really helped people, if they'll get in there and do the work and listen to the shows and understand that this is all this is an attempt to help you get at what is your truth.
And know your truth.
Know it.
And know who you really are and what you really are and what you like, because there's where your purpose is. And
yes,
we talked about it last week. But
why is purpose? Let's go back over that point, because people may not have listened or didn't get it. Why is your purpose important, this path you're on?
The path you're on of our purpose is, without our purpose, you know, we don't experience contentment and happiness and satisfaction. Like that overarching positive feeling that everybody wants to have right now. I mean, happiness is such a buzzword right now.
It is. Yeah.
But that's not going to happen outside your purpose.
Right.
There's no amount of money. There's no mini houses, jets. I don't care what kind of actor or football person you want to be, that's not going to make you happy.
Right.
And unless that's your God-given purpose,
right,
for your life. And once you get in that drive of that purpose, nobody can take that from you.
And for those out there that say, I never have looked at my life that way, I've just gone from one job to another, I didn't realize that there was a purpose behind my work life or my love life or my family life, what do you say to them?
We do have purpose. I mean, you're right. You know, a lot of times people just kind of exist like they're in this proverbial groundhog day, you know, the same day over and over and over
exactly
until you die.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a pretty crappy way of looking at life if you think of it that terms. Because we all have really unique talents and gifts. We all have some purpose that we are put here. If that purpose is to, you know, empathize and have compassion for someone, if it's like a Mother Teresa who gave up all the luxuries of this life to get in there and make other people's lives better, it doesn't have to be a Mother Teresa thing to be your purpose. Some people's purpose is within writing. Some people's purpose is just listening. Some people's purpose is building. Like, we all have
different
purposes.
The person that's listening now and says, wait a minute, you're making it sound like everybody has this amazing purpose. That's just wonderful. It's going to change lives. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying everybody has a purpose. The amazingness is when you're walking in your purpose. Looking at Mother Teresa's purpose for me and my life doesn't look like, oh, I think that was amazing that she lived a life of poverty.
Right.
But to her,
it was.
That drove her and woke her and made her. That was her place.
There might be some listeners that are going, why do you two do this show every single week? You know? I mean, you're paying to do a show. Why are you doing this? Right?
Because we are doing
our purpose. Because we both feel that way.
And you know, and I know we've said it many times, but no matter how tired we come in here on a Thursday night, what's gone on during the week, through chemo, we did not miss shows, because this is
never missed one show during your many months of chemo last year in 2018.
I might have come in here feeling sick, but this is what energized me when I walked out of here. I had a smile on my face.
And why? Because we knew we were helping people, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we say, tell people about this show. Ask them to listen and tell them that they'll be rewarded. And they will be, you know, if they do.
Yes.
Because anytime you spend time really looking at yourself, really thinking, I could change in that area. Hey, I could grow in that. I could learn how to not let my mother drive me so completely crazy every day, right?
Absolutely.
Or whatever the case may be.
Because when you know your inner
truth. I can say
that
because my mother's in heaven, so okay. She doesn't drive me crazy.
I can say that, and my mother is not in heaven, and my mother has a lot of issues, and we've had a very difficult relationship. But once I got to this place, I can relate with her without her hurting me constantly, because she's still an active drug user. But we've gotten to a place where I'm okay with what we have, and I got it, and
okay.
We can relate on some
wow.
term. Before,
that's really
we
good.
Couldn't do that without me ended up feeling hurt all the time and crying about what I didn't have because I wasn't there yet.
And we don't always bring in our own personal lives, but you have just really spilled something very, very intense. Because so often people, in my case, Pastor, your case, everything that you are, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, working with foster programs, private practice, everything you do, people get the idea that we don't have common, ordinary relationship issues. Right?
I hear that all the time. I hear, you know, well, of course that works for you, Dr.
Oh,
Angel.
Oh, sure, yeah, because you've got it all together and you've learned it's not like that.
No.
Why is it not like
that? Because we do not have it all together. We're on this journey.
I do. I don't know about you, Dr. No, I'm teasing. But no, we are on this journey that is a process, right? And
it is.
It's a journey. It's a path.
And we have our own problems and our own challenges and our own heartaches and our own shortcomings. And we all have that.
Yeah, we do.
We're not sitting here on the other side of we've got life figured out. There isn't a figure it out.
No.
It's a journey.
And but both of us have a purpose of helping other people figure it out. That's our goal, right?
Absolutely.
To help other people grow. That may not be your goal or your part of your life, but you may be a person that can help a person like you in your job fulfill your, you know, which means still that's a purpose. So
it is a purpose. And, you know, one thing I want to point out, too, is that, you know, I've interacted with a lot of people in the self-help market, and it's a huge, growing, thriving market. And a lot of people write these things in shows or whatever they're doing in principles of these will help your life, but they've never applied it to their own.
Right.
They've never really
yes.
used it.
Yes.
And I can tell when I'm having conversations with them that they don't really have the, you know, the applicable
right.
information about it. We've lived everything we talk about on
right.
the show.
We have.
We are living today everything.
We have. And not only that, we so often talk about our own vulnerabilities and our own weaknesses. And that's not because we set about before the show to go, okay, I'll talk about this. You talk about that. It just happens. It just flows out. And that's how life really does happen.
Yes.
It just flows from one experience to another, right?
It sure
and
is.
You find people in your life that are in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, right? And they can begin to gain some strength from the stuff you've gone through if you choose to share it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and people, you have an audience watching no matter what
sure.
it is you're doing. If your audience, if you're a mom or a dad and your audience might be your kids or coworkers or people at whatever clubs or games or activities, that people are watching you and they're watching how you're doing this.
We don't see that so often, right?
We don't. We do not. And a lot of us aren't doing it very gracefully. So it's kind of, you know,
wow.
great that people are watching sometimes because we're, you know, complaining and whining and, you know, of the everydays instead of figuring
yeah.
it out. And,
right.
and, you know, if we don't like our job, let's do something
do
about
something
that.
Do something different. Go get another job.
Right.
Right.
Change. Go back to school. Get
Go,
a new
yeah,
career.
Do something.
Whatever it is. Do
but
it different.
Okay, but this goes back to something that is kind of a bugaboo of mine right now. You know how you have hot issues in your life that are kind of, and that is this cultural thing we see now where people just accept that, oh, well, you know, this is going on. I don't like it, but that's all right. I'm not going to do anything to change it. Of course, in the midterm elections we just had, a lot of people did get out there and make change, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is a cultural issue in America where we've had so much luxury. We've had so much handed to us that so often we don't want to do the hard work of discovering who we are.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
That's my point.
We don't want to work for it. I see that a lot. I was actually having a conversation with someone that I've known since I was a child, and we were catching up, and we had a large gap in time since we've seen each other, and we're catching up, and, you know, I'm sharing, like, my goals and my dreams and where I'm at and what I've done, and then I'm listening to her, and she's like, well, I'm just a peon, but I'm okay being a peon, and I don't want to have friends, and I don't want to, and I'm just... baffled. Yeah. My yeah. mind is right. baffled. And she's not depressed, and she's content as she can be, just...
But is she really?
Well, she's trying to show she is.
She's projecting that she is.
She's trying to say that she is with no goals, no, they don't have to be these humongous things, mm-mm, but there's just... Like, life is happening to her, and she's just going to accept what happens. And we don't have to be like that. No. We have power and control.
We have personal power.
Yes, we do.
We can choose to deal with the pain and hurt of our past, maybe little by little, or maybe go get therapy or whatever the case may be. Or we can just continue to live in the same sorry mess we've been in for a long time, right?
Right. But if we choose to stay in the same sorry mess, we don't have a right to complain about it. We made a choice.
Ah, but a lot of victims and martyrs don't feel that way.
No, we have a choice. We can choose to change what we do not like, or we can choose to stay the same.
Right.
But life is not happening to us.
So the person who is stuck in the past is not living in the present. Very well.
Oh, no, they are not living in the present. Very well. Right. It's like they peak in the present, so like their body's existing in the present, but their mind is stuck back there.
But their mind's someplace else.
And so, you know, these people really they're not growing as people.
Right.
They're not, you know, maturing in any level. Like, they're just stuck.
Haven't you in life, run into somebody that you haven't seen for a few years, like the person you just discussed, okay? Or you just haven't been in much contact, and then you're back together, talking a lot, etc., going out to lunch, whatever the case may be, and you begin to realize that, as you just described, that person really is stuck back in that old painful divorce that happened 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. In fact, I've used words like that. Like, you know, you might have been divorced on paper, but you're not divorced in your heart.
Woo! Dr. Angel, say that one more time.
You might have been divorced on paper, but you're not divorced in your heart. Meaning you're still hanging on to it like it's here. People can talk about some of those, whatever it is that hurt them, like it was this morning.
Yesterday. Oh, I know. Yes. And they can remember all the details. The details, which tells you right there that they've been rehearsing it in their mind. They're playing the tapes over and over again, right?
Right. And, you know, we're not saying that, you know, everybody has things that happen that are hurtful to them.
Right.
But everyone has a responsibility to what are they going to do with it? Am I going to allow myself to know who I am, know my truth, and start healing this hurt that happened wherever?
Okay, but a lot of people feel like the healing process is more hurtful than just going on the way they are.
They do. I hear that all the time. They do believe that, but it's not true. They're believing a lie.
Yeah.
Because, see, here's the thing. When you have the hurt and you're hurting, you're going to just keep hurting. There's no end in sight to this hurt because you're not dealing with it, so that hurt's always going to be there, right?
Yeah.
But when you go through healing, yeah, you're going to hurt, but... then you're going to start healing, and there is an end to that pain.
Have you ever seen somebody on TV or a movie or known somebody who has got their shoulder out of the socket?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the doctor or the nurse or the emergency person, I mean, the pain evidently is excruciating when your shoulder is out of the socket, right? But if you watch somebody put that back, I mean, the person that goes through the event is like screaming and hollering, correct?
Yep.
And the person does it because you're going to be okay in a minute. And bam, 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 and it's back in there, right?
And then there's no pain.
It is the most, I saw this on TV recently again in something I was watching. And how interesting it is when that just slips back in. Yep. To where it's supposed to be. You want to use that metaphor?
Well, that's
a
great one.
I'm trying to tee up the metaphors for
you're
you.
You're doing
today,
really
right?
good with them today. And that's a great one because they could just sit there and let that shoulder be out of socket, and that excruciating pain is just never going to stop.
Oh, you can't even use your arm. Can't even use your arm when it's like that.
You can't think of anything but what? Pain.
Right.
Right? That's all you can think of is pain.
Right.
You're stuck.
You're stuck. Right.
But if you go through just a tad bit pain for a short period of time and let it go
excruciating,
back.
But still, knowing that there
you're
is...
you're already excruciating
you're
when
already
it's out.
You're already excruciating, right. And knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak.
That it's going
to
stop.
It's the same way here with this topic that we are discussing right now. So people, they don't want to stay with a shoulder that's out of socket. No, no.
You want to live your life
okay.
out of socket.
Oh, doctor, you say I have to. Okay, do it. You know, let me hang on to something and get it done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's better to do that and suffer huge amount. Now, even with these emotional things we're talking about, we're not usually suffering huge amount. But we're uncomfortable when we get to, when people, a therapist, let's say, or you and I here on the show, are saying, you know what, you need to take a look at that. You're still not divorced. Even though you were divorced 25 years ago, you're still not divorced because you have not let go of what he or she did to you. You've not let it go.
Right.
So you're still married in that regard. I mean, technically, of course, they're divorced, but...
Right, but emotionally within that one person, they aren't. That divorce didn't happen because they're still hanging on to whatever it is. And we're not living any kind of life when we're doing that.
No, we're not.
We're living in pain. I mean, this person who is divorced but is living as if they're not, you know, they're living in this constant pain of feeling hurt and rejected all of the time. And then we wonder why we're miserable.
And we wonder why people don't like us. And I will say that one way, in my opinion, it's just personal experience, the one way you know if a person is still living in all that is if you do spend some quality time with them, a nice dinner, a trip to the beach together, you're going to find that that's the subject they come back to. Over and over again. They can twist a good conversation into a painful memory. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I
totally
know what
you're
saying.
Do you agree with what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And
you're the resident
right.
expert. I've just been the victim of listening to somebody's stuff.
You know, you want to know where you're at in your life? What kind of words do you use the most in your conversations?
What kind of words?
Yeah, are you talking about the here and now and the present?
Ooh,
or are you talking about something in the past? And a lot of times people, they can't even enjoy their present moment.
Yeah.
It's so funny because mindfulness is a big buzzword right now. And everybody wants to, mindfulness. And I'm a big proponent of it, but it's about the here and now. And people can't do it because they haven't let go of what happened back here to get to the here and now.
Okay, so define mindfulness for those people out there who go, oh yeah, I've heard that term. What's that mean?
Well, mindfulness is a therapeutic practice of really being in the here and now.
Right.
Sitting in this moment. And having this moment for what it is.
You are here in the studio with me right now, right?
Absolutely, I am.
Are you mindful that you are?
I am.
You're aware you're here?
I am very aware that I'm here. But, you know, and it is a practice because it helps de-stress and all those things that it's promised to do. But the problem is we can't enjoy this moment.
Right.
When we're so stuck and our brain's going back and playing these tapes from 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years, whatever it was.
Right. And one of the ways, besides that going back over and telling those old stories, whatever, is a lot of times you're comparing this present moment to that awful thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, and imposing a future problem that may not even exist yet because you're so afraid of having to go back over that hurt and be in a same similar situation that you're already trying to protect yourself from that hurt, right? Mm-hmm.
That hasn't even happened or may never ever happen. And you're accusing people of that hurt, like people who've been cheated on, you know, and they get in a new relationship.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And every time they can't find that, oh, are they cheating?
Yeah. And they're on the, oh yeah. They're
you
checking it out.
Owe it to yourself and everybody around you to go get that hurt healed because you will never have a happy relationship.
All right, let's go back to our shoulder metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've had your shoulder popped back in and you're fine. And then, you know, somebody says, you want to go sailing, you know? Oh, I'm not sure. I don't think I better because I might throw my shoulder out again. Really? Why would you do that again? I mean, that was an unusual trauma, right?
Yes.
And I mean, that's just a metaphor. But that's, oh, no, I wear the sling because it might happen again. Right?
True. There are people that go around like that.
Yeah,
and they're so afraid emotionally of feeling that. And, you know, we do not live in a bubble. And what I find is when people live hard to try and protect themselves from some hurt, they always end up experiencing that hurt.
You said the word bubble, and there's a commercial right now about life insurance, and this guy walks up to this guy, and he's all wrapped in bubble wrap.
Oh.
And have you seen that?
No.
And the guy says, why are you wrapped in bubble wrap? Because I have no life insurance. I got to protect myself.
Well, and there's, okay. But if he went around this world in bubble wrap. Okay, I like this. If he went around every day in bubble wrap trying to protect himself, is he really living?
Well, can you imagine?
A quality life here.
You'd have to take all that bubble wrap off, take a shower. You'd have to take, you know, I mean, seriously, no. It's an absurd metaphor.
Yes.
But I hope it sends a message to our audience. And this is why sometimes you never know, just watching this crazy commercial, how it'll fit into a radio show, right?
Your true story. But
that's true. But go ahead.
But no, and it does. And that boils back down to our inner truth. Our inner truth, when we really know our inner truth, we can live in this moment.
We can.
We can be prepared for our future.
Yes, yes.
And our past has its perspective. We're not saying we ignore it and we never tell the stories of our past. They're told from a different perspective.
And usually, I learned this.
Yes, and they're told from a place of hope and a place of purpose for someone else who might have had experienced a negative thing that we can offer that, like, light in the tunnel, that there is a light in the tunnel. There is a, you know, a healing side to this. That's where those stories become told again. Not that we live and dwell there.
Instead of a perspective of fear, it might happen again.
Exactly. You know, so many of us set up camp in the pain. We're not in the pain. We have it's like when you get cut and we let it bleed, it scabs, it heals. We might see a scar.
Right.
But we might warn our kid if we, you know, cut ourselves with a knife. We're going to warn our kid, you need to wear safety things, right? You don't want this scar.
You don't want this.
But if you have the scar, we get the Neosporin and the stitches and we take care of it so it can heal itself properly. We don't keep peeling back, you know, a scab before it's healed, right?
That's exactly right. And I hope our audience is listening to these examples, because the one you gave a moment ago, and then I'm going to let you sum up because we got about 2 minutes and we got to get out of here, is that example of people who are always, if they've been cheated on, for instance, always thinking the new person's going to do the same thing.
Yes, they do. And they accuse everyone else of doing the new thing because they are so afraid of feeling that hurt from being cheated on. That betrayal pain stinks. So I'm going to look for it. I'm summing up is that finding our inner truth is a process. It's a journey.
Yes.
It is part of your journey. And to know who you really are, what makes you tick, what drives you, where you've been, how you see things, where you're going, those are some important things to know. And many of us are walking around this earth without any of this knowledge.
Right.
And we're trying to do it and we're not happy doing it. And so if you're that person and you're just like, no, I'm not feeling content. No, I can't really make
some effort. Start working on this.
Be willing to do the work.
Right.
Be willing to walk through a hurtful situation to get to the other side.
And if you feel like you can't do it on your own, find a good therapist.
Find help.
Like you.
Yeah, there you go. Like me. Or find help. You know, sometimes we can have a trusted friend. Sometimes we need a therapist. Sometimes, you know, each person is individual, as their inner truth.
That's exactly right. And so I hear you saying, and both of us saying, this is worth working on, mm-hmm. right? This is not something to be ignored and say, and tell people, I don't know. It just seems too hard. No. Make the effort. It will change your life. This is a game changer and a life changer, correct?
Absolutely is. Absolutely is. You will not be the same.
You will not be the same.
You will not.
So why would a person want to be different than what they are right now?
Well, I'd want to be different than I am right now if I'm not exactly content with where I'm at now, or if I want to do something different,
right.
You know, better. I'm not content where I am now. I'm wanting to grow, and this is a continual process.
Don't live in fear.
Mm-mm.
Don't live in shame.
Mm-mm.
Don't live in guilt.
No.
Deal with this stuff.
No.
Get it healed.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual, there are spiritual answers. There are therapeutic answers with a person like you. And it's worth finding your truth. Wow. This show went very quickly.
It sure did.
We got part three coming next week. Don't miss it. Call a friend and catch up if you missed one or two, and go back and listen to them again. That's the beauty of podcasts here on TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts and then go to Go Yard, and that's how you do it. And so, who are you anyway? I can't remember.
I'm Dr. Angel.
I just like to give you a hard time to make sure you still know who you are. And I am Mama Mac, and we'll see you next week.
Good night. This weary soul, come and take me to the river.